Well, some of you have said, well, I have messages here to say they'll love to download the song. Well, be about it. You already know the name and song title. Remember Me by Todd Delaney. You like it, download it. Otherwise, you'll always hear it on 99.3 Nigeria Info. Welcome. We hold it to be worthy of note. The sun rises here. My name's Joyce. Okay, so a few things we need to address first. Today, I'm going to be playing you a TED Talk on the human genome and open it to public interrogation. And it's because today is worthy of note. Now, I think you need to understand this. I think you might find physics boring if you don't like or think you enjoy the sciences. I do not have a scientific background. I don't know how I stumbled on physics, and good God, is probably the best thing after falling in love. Yeah, I would say physics is actually the best.
Oh, is it?
Probably. Okay, maybe I'm going to put that with... No, I'm going to put that right under music. So let's say falling in love. No, it's music, falling in love, or falling in love, music, and then physics. I'm just curious about that thing. I think there's too much there. I want to share with you this particular TED Talk because of what it means or its implication in our today's world. You have to... Oh, hold on a second. My thoughts are now interrupted. I appear to have a guest who's supposed to be in the studio. Let's see. Okay, so science and where it fits into our today's world, and what that also means is that until you understand science, you'd get lost in what's happening in the world today. Remember, you can try to follow the conversation on the World Economic Forum happening in Switzerland, Davos, and what that would show you is pretty much where the world is going. And probably besides the war in Ukraine would be science, technology, artificial intelligence, and the new world that has come already, which would be humans and machines coexisting, or humans becoming part machine in the new world. No, it's not fiction. It's the truth. It's better than fiction. It's the truth. Off on a break. We'll be right back. When we come back, there's a guest in the studio. Don't go anywhere. Tonight, 9.3 Nigeria Info. Welcome to the show. If you have just joined in, you're on the Sony side. It is 12 minutes before we touch down, 1 p.m. on the clock. And on that time, or at that time, will be given to you the update, news update. All right, between now and then, let me share thoughts on some things that arose yesterday. Some aspects of our conversation yesterday. And these are messages that pretty much featured during the hour, I think about 2-3 o'clock yesterday, and I couldn't read these ones. Many people remember yesterday on the show, our topic was giving. And the revelation, I would say, is absolutely, I wouldn't say surprising, but it has an element of surprise to it. And then to some degree, I would say shocking, because, well, it's the because that has brought me back again today. And I think it's a good way to start. So we're going to link that to language and interpretations conversation that we dealt with last week, which is, if you remember, putting yourself first, which is like a popular social construct, and then we're trying to make sense of it. All right, so I'm going to quickly just run through some of the messages because I put them in summary. Someone says, according to his religion, particularly during fasting period, they're advised to give to the poor. And he says they do it because they believe it brings blessing. So that's a reason for giving. It seems as though the motive to give in this regard is that, well, if you fast and then you give to the poor, the math is, well, you get something back in return. Okay. Someone else sent me a message saying that they give because they expect. Another person says, well, we're told to give to the poor as a command, and we believe that in doing that we get something. Now, this person didn't speak from a point of religion, as did the earlier person. They only just suggested that, well, we give but we give to a class of people, and it's because we give to that class of people that we get something back. And then he goes further to say, when you give to the rich, you get nothing. So it's like, ooh, all right. Another man sends me a message. He says, I'm a public servant, and I give sometimes to make my job easier. So yes, I give to get something back. Which is very interesting. It just tells you the spirit at the heart of public service. It's like, you scratch my hand and I scratch yours. Or you scratch my back and I scratch yours. Something like that. One says, I don't give gifts to expect anything in return. He says the reason he doesn't do that is because of butt licking. And I guess the implication of that is maybe when you give with motive, then you probably are pandering to someone's ego. Well, it's the import that's a little evasive here. All right, so I want to visit particular. So we can pretty much just summarize, if you remember yesterday's conversation, and if you missed it, oh, it sucks to be you right now. But pretty much we spoke about giving, and then what came to light would be the mindset or what informs giving. Okay. And the reason I want to bring this up is because I'm going to say we talk about this at a later time, and then that time never really comes because it's just too much to talk about. So let's begin. Nothing dies. Nothing. Not good, not bad. Nothing dies. So it might not be expressly beneficial to you in the moment, but it's beneficial at a different spectrum. So let me give you a very good example. I spoke to a farmer. And the farmer said that on his farm, nothing goes to waste. So you see, there's something on the farm that humans would eat because it's food grade. It's of high standard. It's done right. And so humans can eat it, right? And then he says that the things that go to rot, humans can eat it. So we put it back in the soil and it becomes fertilizer. Just a good summary. That was how he put it. So he's like, in nature, there is no waste. Everything is useful. In the same light, if you did good as a law, it doesn't go to waste. I remember telling someone yesterday on the show, you give, you shall be given. It's not to inform motive to receive. It's to suggest that there is a law at work that if you gave, whether today, tomorrow, or 100 years from now, the law counts for you. The same thing with evil. Let me explain how this law works. Your enemy functions on that law. So let's say there's someone you really hate, or they really hate you, and there's justification for this hate. If your enemy planted corn, he's going to get corn, and probably a lot of it. Or tomato, whatever, because it's a law. The rain falls on the roof of the righteous and the unrighteous. So everybody gets the good. And many of you insinuated, maybe not a lot of you, but I would say I got that yesterday. The idea of God giving and wanting to take, and as such, you suggested that it was transactional. And doesn't it beat your own imagination that you would like to believe that you are deserving of the breath in your lungs? Isn't that hubristic of you to suggest that you have breath and you deserve it and you have a right to it? And if I left you with that, if you are honest, you pretty much cannot defend why your heart beats or how it does. So you can't suggest, or maybe even blatantly say, that with all the gifts in life, the one who has made nature possible has given because he expects something back. What can you give? If you were worth this world, how much would that really be? How much? How much? You want to put a figure on it? What would the weight be on a scale? All right, so that's food for thought. And then there's a Bible verse. I can't quite remember where. It says, as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest will never cease. Meaning, no evil dies, no good dies. It's a circle of life. We're off on a break. We'll be right back. My name's Joyce. You're on 99.3 Nigeria Info. It's Language and Interpretations Today on Worthy of Note on Nigeria Info. The Sunny Side, 99.3 Nigeria Info. My name's Joyce, and today on Language and Interpretations, I am trying to peel back what might be layered in, well, I wouldn't say it's obscure. I think that you have moments where you choose to be introspective. You choose moments where the truth should come forward, and then you choose another moment where the truth should step back. So given off yesterday's conversation, I was on the fact that nothing dies. So if you look at the logic behind, for example, the coronavirus, you're told that the virus would mutate. Now, even though they deny it, much in the news has reported that the vaccination causes the virus to mutate. Now, that is something you can check. It's on record. They say that the vaccination causes the virus to mutate. And I remember a few years ago, the World Health Organization said that antibiotics pretty much was getting to a place where they couldn't continue to further improve it because germs were mutating. And so it would mean that for every germ, you create an antibiotic to kill that particular grade, then the germ mutates, becomes something else. You have to create something stronger, something higher to kill it. And they had a problem with the continuance of trying to create antibiotics to match the mutation of germs. So in the same vein, they tell you to get vaccinated from a coronavirus. When it's alpha, then it becomes omega. Then they tell you to vaccinate. Then it becomes omicron. Or it becomes beta. Delta becomes omicron. They tell you that these are the phases where you need vaccination. And then it becomes XBB 1.5. And then they have to actually issue out new vaccinations to deal with the new mutation, and best believe it's guaranteed to mutate because that's the state. It's like we're going to evolve. And if you watch your movies, they tell you about little monsters. They tell you about little demons that become monsters. It's the same logic. So if you did an ill today in the world and you suppose that you can walk away from it, well, what happens is that that thing you have brought forth will become something else. And maybe it's also worth pointing out that if you say you give for a reason, in the same breath you imply that you should not receive except it's for a reason. So I think it's one thing to say I want something. No, I think it's one thing to say I wouldn't give except it's to manipulate or modulate an outcome. It's something else to say, well, I know you wouldn't admit to that. If good were coming to you, you wouldn't want to figure out if you were worth it. You wouldn't say, am I deserving of it? Maybe one of you would, out of 5 billion, will be like, well, am I deserving of this? No, because if it's good, you would love to appreciate it and reach for it. The assumption would be that it has come from God, right? Even if it was ill, even if its roots were evil, but it had the presence of good, you would actually accredit it to God. You'd be like, oh, yeah, God sent, God has done me well. Hey, thank God, oh, isn't that what y'all say? Oh, thank God, oh. So, if that be the case, on Language and Interpretations last week, we were talking about put yourself first. So we haven't quite touched it, and it's very surprising, particularly the way it has been interpreted so far. So the interpretation is the problem. It's not what you do. It's the reason behind what you have done. That's the issue. So today on the show, the telephone lines are hereby open, 0700-993-993-993. We're continuing our conversation from last week. The language is you put yourself first, right? And then if you put yourself first, what does that mean? I think we all agree that we arrive at a point where it's informed human selfishness. But some of you would like to disagree, so you still have today to make sense or to disabuse the minds of those like me who think, well, this is selfish, right? But then remember, it's the reason behind what you have done that's really the spirit of what you have done. And so if you said, we give for a reason, then it means something. So on Language and Interpretation, what does it mean when you put yourself first? Because we have to at least attempt to touch the root of it. On Nigeria Info, welcome to Radio.
99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's
talk. You're on the sunny side. My name's Joyce. What's your name?
Hello.
Hello.
Good afternoon, ma.
Welcome.
Okay.
Okay.
Sister, I want to give you only one point. 2001, it's like 2007 when my company was having a problem. So I went to my village, my chairman. I told him, oh, so far, you know. I said, I want to bring one of my cousins down to Lagos. He said, put yourself first. Let me say, you go bring another cousin. That's for Gary. So make sure I tell you, stand very well and have to feed yourself before you go bring your cousin. That's my own put yourself first.
So
I said, remember to take the club and to give us new money. Thank you very much.
99.3 Nigeria Info. It's good to have you here. Make it back. 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-7190. You're insinuating that to put yourself first is selfish, or maybe I'm wrong. Hello, welcome to the show. What's your name?
Hello, Joyce. Good afternoon.
Afternoon to you. It's good to have you here. Thank you very much for calling.
It's actually Kim from First
Life. Fantastic. Thank you.
So I would say initially, maybe when the person invented that term, what he intended to say, the writing would have been... Anyway, there's no way to replace it. It's selfish. But let me just say what the person was trying to be. Like, let me put it in typical Nigerian perspective, Joyce. If you are this kind of giving person, I have encountered numerous times... they will use you till you die. So you that is the person giving, you have to have a limit, like you do the best you can for the person.
Yeah, but that's not putting yourself first. That's being sensible.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I mean. But you know this, yeah, I am saying I think that's where you put yourself first. Like, it's just like Sandra had an issue yesterday when she was asking like a lady wanted to get married. The human being was like, she has to choose between him and her master. So you can imagine that rubbish. So in that kind of scenario for me, if she says she puts herself as her master, I wouldn't blame her. Her master ensures her future. He doesn't. So in general, the term is selfish.
Thank you.
They didn't lead, put thought into it. So like, as you were saying of the other one of giving, for me, I try giving into Pascal's wager. You live like there's a God. If there is, you gain. If there isn't, you don't lose anything. But at least do the best you can. That
right.
is for me. But why in a selfish world, America first, you always hear it every time.
Oh, okay.
And after they'll call you for UN meeting. Imagine.
Thank you very much for calling. 99.3 Nigeria Info, you on the sunny side. The last caller said that your social construct didn't quite get a lot of thinking put into it. And that's sad, given the number of people I've heard say that. And they say it as a personal philosophy. And so are we going to admit today that it's a stupid philosophy? Or maybe I should give it some time. Yeah, you can come to me with something particularly convincing. My name's Joyce. Welcome to Nigeria Info. It's Language and Interpretations. Make it back. Hi, how are you? Good afternoon to you.
Hello, good afternoon, Joyce.
Good to have you. Welcome.
Thank you. I've been listening to you since yesterday. I did not get through that yesterday.
Okay.
See, do you mean, I don't understand how people think. I don't understand how people think reading when it comes to giving and receiving. Now, let me put it this way. Somebody is sick in the hospital and probably cannot pay his bill. Then I just feel like, taking up this deal. When I'm going, I bought some food. Just buy some food and go, then give to him, for him to get better on time. Then give him some gifts. Not only give him some gifts, pay his bills. Then and give him other something, probably monetary gifts, financial gifts, so that he will be able to get up on time. You understand? Then I tell him, God bless you, then I go back. Then you expect me, do you expect me to start expecting something from that very person? Come on. People should realize, let me put God there now. People should fear God. You don't give so that you expect, so that you expect from that very person. You give and just forget about it. And that is the way I personally don't give from that way, but thought my own thing. I don't know if you have other things to say, because I just don't get mad today.
There's too much in the world that's maddening. Don't worry. I don't understand.
I continue reading it this very morning. Thank God you brought it again.
All right. Welcome to the world. Thank you very much for calling. Don't worry. I'm sitting pretty waiting for your conviction. Hi. It's good to have you. Can you hear me? Make it back. Hello. Good afternoon to you. No, the volume of everything. Hello.
I'm Mama T from
You must turn off the volume of your radio set. Do me a service, and it's a little service. Welcome to the show. Good afternoon.
Thank you, Joyce. Good afternoon.
Afternoon. Welcome to Language and Interpretations.
Thank you. My name is Jude. I'm calling from Ikorodu.
Fantastic. Good to have you.
Yes. What I understand by that word, it's simply that you said the word is put yourself first, right?
Exactly.
For my own understanding, I think it's in anything you do, first of all, consider your safety.
Oh, come on. Safety?
Yes. First of all, consider your safety. Even the Holy Book, I know many people are not Christian, says, love your neighbor as you love yourself, no more than yourself.
What does that mean? Can you interpret that internally?
Okay,
like, what do you understand?
It means, for instance, if you have, let me use giving as an example. If you have, say, 50 naira, and you have somebody who is in need of 30 naira, or in need of 50 naira as well, you shouldn't give the person the whole of 50 naira, knowing that if you give that person that 50 naira, you may die. So you can give the person part of the money. So you are putting yourself first, not after.
Isn't that a wrong interpretation of love your neighbor as yourself? Should we reevaluate that definition?
Well, that is my own interpretation. I don't know if it's like wrong.
Well, that's the thing. That's exactly what the show is about. Do you want to look at it again? Because to love your neighbor as you love yourself implies you already love yourself, right?
Okay.
Now, you're instructed to love your neighbor likewise. It's not saying put yourself first. It says, well, you love yourself. Well, do the same to your brother. It doesn't say put yourself first. The implication of that says you already love yourself.
Yes.
Good. So, love your neighbor as though you love yourself.
Okay. Maybe I'm taking it. Maybe I'm getting it confused right now.
Well,
that's...
Go ahead.
Come again?
No, well, I'm saying, I don't think you're confused. I think that you haven't considered it. It's not confusion yet. You haven't considered it. It's like you extend the same to your brother. So if you had 15 naira, your analogy was good. You say, well, I'll give my brother something. I won't give him everything.
Yes.
Well, that makes sense. It's like, well, if you were in need too and you went to someone with 15 naira, you'll be satisfied if they gave you.
Doesn't that describe the world we are talking about now, putting yourself first?
Well, if you have an answer for me, I think you should give it to me. Because to put yourself first implies something. And if you look at the statement, it supposes that you are in front and someone else is behind, or you're on top and someone is beneath you. So put yourself first. Okay, nursery school English. Put the cup in front of the book.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes. What?
Yes. That's literal meaning, putting it in front, yes.
So when you put yourself first, what would that mean?
Then I have to be ahead of everybody.
So... is it the same as loving your neighbor as you love yourself?
No, it's not the same.
Thank you very much for calling. I'd appreciate it.
Yeah.
My name is Joyce. Welcome to Nigeria Info. Can you hear me? Hello, lady. You're distant from your phone. Could you speak closer to your mouthpiece, please?
Hello?
Honey, I don't have forever. Hello, good afternoon. Could you just... Hello, good afternoon to you. Welcome to the sunny side. What's your name?
Hello?
Hello, welcome. What's your name?
Yeah. Dakar from Korea.
Nice. Thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Yeah. Put yourself first. It has a diverse meaning. And it's not in all cases we put ourselves first. According to the Bible says, he who is saved should stand up for the salvation of others. That means if you are not saved, you cannot stand up for others. So you have to be saved first. That's putting yourself first. And then putting yourself first again is not in all scenario. Because then when I was growing, my father used to tell me that when you get burnt, that is the Yoruba saying that when you and your child, you are in danger, you save yourself first. So when I now got married, I now saw that definition is not right in all cases, because sometimes my children will be in need of something that is very, very, that is very, that I too am in need of something too, that I can't just afford to do my own first. So I'd rather go for my children first instead of doing my own.
Why do you do your children first? Why do you go for your children first? Why? What's for the
example,
emotion?
Maybe,
no, I know the example. What's the emotion behind that example?
My own is not, I can always get my own anytime.
What's the emotion? What is the emotion behind that example? Do you think you might be able to trace it? If you sacrifice for your children more than you sacrifice for yourself, what would that be called in grammar?
Not in all cases. For example, maybe...
I know the example. Yeah. I'm asking you to name the emotion because we're trying to make sense of some language here. So what's the emotion? Do you think you might know it? If let's say you have a tuber of yam and your children... No, and your neighbor is hungry, starving, no food, they haven't eaten the whole yesterday. Then it comes to you today saying, we're dying, let's have food. And you say, oh no, I have one yam, we'll cook, everybody's going to eat. What's the emotion behind that?
It's just love. It's
good.
Just loving my neighbor.
Good.
Yeah,
so hold it. Then earlier on when you called me, the first thing you said was, the man who has salvation should... Well, how did you quote that? What was that? Could you repeat it, please?
He who is saved should stand up for the salvation of others.
He who is saved should stand up for the salvation of others. And you implied that was putting yourself first. First of all, if you're not saved, you can't save somebody else because you're in the wild. So if
you have to be saved first.
Yeah, but that's not putting yourself first because a man doesn't save himself, he is saved. So if a man goes through the process of being saved through Christ, then he tries to save other people. That's not putting himself first. You want a minute?
then another thing. The thing you were saying yesterday, giving. So giving has died. Some people, they give you for different motives. For me, I just give from my heart. When I see that somebody is in need, I just give from my heart. Not a motive behind it. But in some scenario, when an ex is giving a married person a gift, that is for a motive, for something. Because there was a thing that happened some time ago when I and my husband had clash. My husband was now, after some time, now told me that I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that. I told him that, you also know that you two have shortcomings. You are not doing this and that. He now went ahead and said that he brought some things home. There was a time he brought some things home that it was his ex that brought. I said, what can you bring something? How can you bring a taboo for me to come and believe it? It's a forbidden to come. I now told him also that, do you also know that when I got married, I got my last baby, do you also know that I have an ex too? I don't know how he got my number. He called me, congratulations, I don't even know him. He now said, he wants to give me money. I said, who are you? He now said, he's this. And I said, I just hung up. I said, it's the wrong number. So what about if I've collected that thing? And I'm telling you, hello?
I'm listening.
If I've collected that gift, and I now tell you as my husband that, do you know that this gift, it was given by my ex, what will you feel? What is the motive behind collecting something from a married, somebody that is married? She's also protecting her home. I'm protecting my home. What about, something will lead to order. And her giving a married person something will lead to order. You will exchange numbers. Then after some time, the person that has given you gift will expect something in return. So people give for different things. So that's my take.
Thank you.
And hex should not give a married person a gift.
Let me ask you, then, is loving your neighbor as yourself the same as putting yourself first?
Yes.
Has been nice talking with you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome to the show. Language and interpretations. The language has meaning.
Good afternoon, Joy.
Good afternoon. It's good to have you here.
Yeah. You are talking about...
putting yourself first.
My name is David from Beshiradi.
Good to have you. Thank you.
Yeah. Loving your neighbor as yourself.
Well, putting yourself first, except you want to go somewhere you think we should follow.
Putting yourself first is the practicability of loving your neighbor as you love yourself.
Wow. Okay. You think it's the same thing?
It's the same thing.
Wow. Okay.
It's the same thing. But when you just say, I love my neighbor as I love myself, you have not been able to prove it. It is in your mind. But for other people who doesn't know your mind, to let them know you really love your neighbor as you love yourself, then you put your neighbor first.
God in heaven knows I don't know what you're saying.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, sure, because that's a better thing to say than what you were saying. Thank you. Thank
you're
you.
You're welcome.
Lagos. Look, now this one, I'm in disbelief. So maybe we should work on the logic a little bit. Sorry, welcome if you have just tuned in. My name's Joyce. It's language and interpretations. Now, the language is to put yourself first. When I started the show, I kind of sampled some of the messages I got in yesterday, and I tried to narrow it down to what might be a latent mental or emotional disposition. And so I took it from the reason people give to what might inform the giving to begin with. Now I'm really trying to link it with our conversation from last week, which says put yourself first. So we can begin from the putting yourself first. When you put yourself first, what does it mean? Many of you are saying that put yourself first and loving your neighbor as yourself is the same. I'm off on a break. When we come back, we'll talk. So, the difficulty here is what's subjective. And good heavens, let's see. All right, welcome if you have just tuned in. Some of you call it giving. Well, at least from the conversation yesterday, you say, well, you give because of this. So let me also put this out to you. If you could find a reason to love, so let's talk about, let me just reference love a second. If there's a reason why you love, then it's not love. It's something else, because there is no reason for love. There's absolutely no reason to love. It's as though love transcends boundaries. It is the eternal element of love that ensures that there is no reason to love. So if one gave something, well, you call it giving, right? And then you'd realize what is the motive behind it. Well, it might be honest giving out of love. And because you love, you can feel a person's pain, concern, and you extend help. Yeah. And then the reverse or the inverse would be you give someone because you're trying to modulate an outcome. You want to ensnare them, entangle them. You want to trap them or maybe entrap them. You want to entice them, seduce them. You want something back, a form of reward. You want them to always be indebted to you. Well, that's no longer giving. And so I think I am saying that if you find a reason to care for someone, in the same breath, you're saying, well, people should also find a reason to care for you. If you had a need and you had not earned the help, then nobody should help you because you haven't earned it. So I remember a gentleman yesterday said, I will not help someone except they have earned it. So, well, in the same breath, well, this world owes you no good except you've earned it. And then you want to think about how much of a human being you are to be worth any measure of good. So it seems as though there's something latent in there that you must also give language and confront. Otherwise, you're going to keep assuming that there is, that every time you give, well, there better be a reason for why you've given. So you see that one with talking about what's inside, what is behind what appears to be that good gesture. And so from last week, we're saying you put yourself first. So yes, it's possible for you to give someone and all you're doing is to get their consideration for tomorrow's opportunities. And that's also a way to put yourself first, where you say, well, I'll do this or I can do that. That's you putting yourself first. That's not you playing on the level field. That's not you requiring nothing for what you think you have done. So we're also struggling with what it means to put yourself first. And I think I am a little exhausted with those people who try to compare, who go to the Bible first. I think maybe the Bible should be the last place you go. You first have to be able to even understand it before you draw another sentence out of scripture, which I'm very sure you're going to misinterpret. So try, at least attempt standing outside scripture to give me a meaning that is a social construct. People in society say it without reference to scripture. So let's try. And that would require understanding what you say when you say it. Put yourself first. Let's begin. Well, let's continue. 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-7190. Language and Interpretations on Nigeria Info. Welcome.
Hello, guys.
Hello. Good afternoon to you. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. I think putting yourself first is a selfish statement.
Why?
Because I could remember, last month I was discussing with a colleague, and then we got to start, we were talking about sacrificing our income for family. And what the guy said actually chose me. He said, at this point, he has decided he's not dropping anything or making any sacrifice for anybody, that he's putting himself first, that he knows he's being selfish and he doesn't care.
Are you a staff here? Do you work here? Or, because you say you spoke to my colleague.
No, my colleague.
Okay.
Yes. He said he doesn't care, that he knows he's being selfish, and any that he has decided he's putting himself first, both family and work. In as much as I think it goes a diverse way, it can be selfish, and sometimes we might be trying to consider ourselves too. Okay, let me also give an illustration where probably you're working somewhere, you're not valued or something, and then a whole lot is required of you and you're being underpaid, or maybe they are not considering your health or something. You might decide to put yourself first too. You might decide to put yourself first in the aspect that you might decide to, now this a whole lot is expected from me and I'm not getting this, so I'm not going to overdo it. I'm going to cut the limit and make sure I'm fine before I satisfy them too.
So you think that there is a justification to put yourself first, basically? So is it also possible, particularly given your office reference, that if someone is overworking you and underpaying you, that they have considered themselves more important than they have considered you, and it's only sensible that you do not extend yourself any more than you think is necessary? I don't think that that's putting yourself first, because already the equation, or maybe the odds, are already stacked up against you. And how much of yourself can you give before you are worn out? So it's to save yourself from a situation that would drain you. It's not putting yourself first. Already, someone else has determined the situation. That's not you putting yourself first. That's you trying to survive a situation. And if it will require you to fight back, then fight back you must. And maybe fight back is, I will no longer extend myself any more than is necessary, or I will no longer work here because it doesn't help me, doesn't serve my life. That's not putting yourself first.
Yes, but Joy, somehow you're still putting yourself first, because here you're considering yourself before making those decisions.
Yeah, but someone else, so the company has determined that they're going to underpay you for whatever reason. That's how much they can afford. And then there is your life. So you also now have to consider your life, right?
Yeah.
The person calling the shots is the company. The game is determined by the company. So when you go into negotiation with a company, you're saying you get something out of me and I get something out of you. So you create a deal. If the deal is disadvantageous to you, it puts you at a disadvantage. That's not putting yourself first. Or at least I don't think so. Because you are at a disadvantage. You're not in front of the company. You're not making the rules. That's not putting yourself first. That's you evaluating the situation and realizing that you can't make a life from what they're paying you, and it's only commonsensical for you to pick your bags and leave.
Yes, you're right. You're quite right. But then there are times you might decide to take on the terms and the conditions they're giving to you, but then you won't be performing exactly within the expected of you. You might be limiting them without anybody knowing, just to make sure.
Yeah. So what do you call that? Would that be good? So that's where the good comes in. So if you decide, I'm going to stay, but I'm going to cause, I'm going to stay, but I'll bring you loss.
Sorry, I didn't get that.
So if you decide to stay with the company and you bring them loss, what's that? Wouldn't it be better if you left?
Because there
are emotions behind these things, and these emotions at least have English names. At what point do you realize that you've gone from just being disadvantaged to being evil? Because maybe it would be better if you left than if you stayed and you were robbing the company. Then it's no longer fair game, because you're, you did this to me and I'm doing this right back at you. It would be better if you left than if they wanted you, they'll call you back. or the thought that you had. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I say you're
If the
right.
game is determined by someone else, you're not putting yourself first. You're negotiating something. Or is it me? Okay, maybe you need a moment, or maybe you need another argument. So
you
wait, you're in a marriage.
Right, but then
you're
in actually to go from what you just said, I think it still goes back to saying that putting yourself first is still selfish.
Hold on. No, wait. If you have a marriage and you have a good guy, but he is unemployed, and maybe you have to compromise some level of your being a part of that union for him to both not lose his dignity and also accord him time to get himself on his feet, right? That's a compromise.
Yeah.
When you say you put yourself first, where you damn about his misfortune, I insist that he should do all of the house chores and cater to the kids, and you come when you come and go when you want, and how he feels about that should be tossed into hell. Now that's you putting yourself first, something like that. You get it? So when you're in a situation where you must consider someone else and you are fair, that's not putting yourself first, because there has to be something in it for you, and then not at the risk of the other person in the equation, or not at the detriment of the other person in the equation. This is not hard. I know it's not hard. You want a minute?
Actually, it's not. I think it's to go back to what I said initially, that I think it's a selfish statement, although trying to
look
from another perspective.
Yes, so when you say it's not selfish, but then you make an argument that supposes that it's selfish, then I'm not sure where you are.
No.
Are you saying it's not selfish?
It's a selfish statement. Putting yourself first is selfish.
Okay.
I was trying to look at it from another perspective, which is crazy. And then in the aspect of giving, myself, I give freely, but I find it difficult taking from people because it makes me feel indebted. And then for the governor, if the aid was actually clear, I don't think she would sneakily give the stuff to the governor. She would have come out clean.
No, that gist is still moving. Wait, apparently we hear that he is not feeling well and it might be cancer. So let's see where this goes. Fingers crossed. By the way, thank you very much for calling.
Thank you.
The Sunny Side, Nigeria Info. It's Language and Interpretations. Welcome.
Godman, yeah.
Hello, Godman.
Yeah.
Sure, thank you.
I want to just, okay. The Bible says love your neighbor as yourself.
Oh, heaven,
no. I'm doing some with you. In other words, treat people the way you want them, the way you want to be treated. Now, but I want to ask, is there not a position that you, for example, now, if I want to help people, but I have to be strong enough to be able to help the weak people? Would I know how to put myself, for example, if I want to help people, I have it in mind, that's my motive, but I have to get a lot of resources, I have to have money. I'm having this money for myself, but my mindset is that I want to help somebody. Would you not call that putting yourself first? Or because that's what I sometimes. So there's a little bit of confusion there. Like, if I'm going to get something and I want to help other people, I want to put myself first. But my mindset is that, okay.
Put yourself first against whom?
Not against anyone. My motive.
Then the language would not be that you're putting yourself first. The language would be that you're trying to develop yourself so that you can help develop other people. That's not putting yourself first. That's you making use of life and your time to be a good person and then develop a world around you that's also good.
So
somebody has to get up. That's taking responsibility. That's being responsibility. Not just for yourself, but for your community.
I have to take a position of, let me get this first for myself.
So now, if we're going to say you put yourself first, we're implying that there are two people in that equation. Is that simplified?
Oh, okay. There are two people in that situation.
Oh, heaven, please. Put yourself first. You have to be in front of something or someone.
What if I have a better position to, because of my skill, my understanding, my knowledge, the other person is not going to be good enough to put himself first.
What?
Yes, in order to stay.
Bring it back. I didn't get it. I lost that one. What did you say?
If, for example, there are two people, like, if maybe there's a situation where I have to save myself,
uh-huh.
The other person is not going to have an opportunity but doesn't have what it takes to save himself.
Mm-hmm.
Where I can actually save myself in order to be able to save the person, mm-hmm. if I can act in time.
So, what is the motive behind your action?
Yeah, so that's my point. That's where the twist is, because I'm trying to understand where will you put that?
So I was been speaking about motive since the show started, and I referenced yesterday's conversation. So what is your motive? You're in a situation, you're with someone in a situation, and you have to save yourself first in order to save the other person.
Exactly.
What is the motive? Can you see that? So you're implying that your motive is, oh, I want to save this other person. Let me unhook myself, unscrew myself, so I'm able to help this other person after I've helped myself. That's not putting yourself first, because maybe in the same breath, you're implying that this person needs help as I do. So someone with a brain needs to do something, right? If you are tied to a chair, the person is tied to another chair. Well, if you can unfasten yourself in order to help him, that's not you putting yourself first. That's you redeeming a situation. You have had to untie yourself in order to not just help yourself, but help somebody else. But if what you're doing is, I'm going to untie myself and walk away.
In a situation where there's a knife, and maybe you are in a better position to handle the knife better than the other person is, fine. The other person may be injured. So I've taken the knife first. I didn't allow the person to take the knife first. We're saying the same thing, right?
No, we're not, because the motive separates it. So now I think you're choosing.
You're right. I don't want to go any further. Yes. So that's,
No. Hold on. The motive of your action is suggesting that you wanted to help the situation, and you feel maybe I can get out of this situation faster in order to save this other person. That's you wanting to save the situation. That's not you putting yourself first. To put yourself first in nearly primary terms implies there's a cup and there's a plate, and one is in front of the other or on top of the other. I mean, just the language in itself.
So putting yourself first can be, you have a giddy position.
I'm asking the question. It's my show. What do you think?
No, I am contributing to what you're saying.
Oh, okay. We got somewhere with that.
Yeah, so, okay. Yeah, you said it all. I understand.
Thank you very much for calling. Language and interpretations, the volume of your radio set.
Good afternoon. My name is Mayowa.
It's good to have you.
I'm calling from Kurudu.
Thank you.
Okay, so I want to contribute to this.
Sure.
To the topic. So, according to what you said that putting yourself first. You are asking for this for putting yourself first. Okay. So what me I'm trying to say is that if you want to my own definition of putting yourself first means that if someone comes to you now and the person needs help immediately, like the person's help is very urgent, like the person needs help urgently, and you too, you have the resources to help, but the resources too is only enough for one person, and you too, you also need that resources immediately, you need it urgently too, and so at that point in time, you will try to consider everything, now you consider the consequences for later, for like in the immediate after. So if my English is correct there, so you have to consider everything, you have to consider the consequences of your actions at that point in time. Okay, if I have these resources that I have, if I give this person now, won't it affect me? Like, okay, will I be able to survive the next minute without these resources? And this person also needs it, like I need it. So if at the end of the day you find out, okay, no, this thing will not be favorable to you, you will have to consider yourself. You have to tell the person that, okay, I'm sorry, I can't help you. Even though the person's situation is an emergency, the person needs it urgently, while you also need it urgently. Mm-hmm. So that is how I see putting yourself first.
Yeah, but do you understand the emotion behind your action? So it doesn't necessarily imply that you are being wicked or you're being selfish. It just says, I can only help one. And so I would have, your charity has to begin at home.
Exactly. Yeah. So that is what.
So if you had enough for one and a half, would you help?
If I have enough for the two of us, then I will help. Like, for example,
two of you, just one and a half, like just one and a spare.
If I have for one and a half, and I know that the half will be enough to take me, it will be enough for me until maybe I'll be able to get help from someone else, then and I know, okay, and I consider the fact that, okay, maybe the person that came to me for help, that person doesn't have any other means of getting help. Maybe I'm the person's last hope. And what I have is enough for 1.5. Then I can consider that, okay, me, I still have another place that I can get my help.
So do you understand that the emotion, the motive plays a role in our actions? Like the reason why we do things is really what we have done. Can you understand that? Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
I understand that.
Thank you very much.
And so there is one, I'm sorry. I want to contribute one more thing. Hello?
I'm with you. Go ahead.
Okay. So you said something about love being unconditional. You what you said at that point, it goes in that direction. But what I'm saying is that I don't believe that there is something like unconditional love.
Sorry.
I don't believe it.
It's okay.
Because I would like to state my reasons. The reason is because there is always a reason for doing something.
Have you fallen in love before? Ever? Once? Have you fallen in love before? Have you been in love before?
Of course.
And it was conditional?
It was... Let me explain why I said there is nothing like...
You know, it's okay, because we're not talking about love today. Like, if you really just want me to have it, that there is... Nothing no, like unconditional love. Like you could really keep it. Like I could really allow you have it.
I just want to give just one reason. Like I want to make an example now. Like they said, okay, a mother's love is unconditional. So just consider the fact that, okay, if a mother loves a child, what people may see it as unconditional love, but what the main reason for the mother loving a child is because she gave it to the child.
Have you heard of mothers who gave birth to children and abandoned them?
That is where putting yourself first. Also.
Oh, no. Don't swing it. Hold on a second. Have you heard of a situation where mothers have given birth and put the children in a trash can?
Yes.
Okay, good. So do you understand that the incentive for the mother loving the child is not even altogether the only reason why a mother loves her child?
I know.
So it means that there's something more latent in there. Otherwise, there are women who give birth and just turn their backs on the child.
Yes, but then let me explain. Let me tell you. Okay.
I have to speak to other people. You want me to believe that love is not unconditional, right?
There is nothing like unconditional love. There is not even God that created us.
Loves us unconditionally. It's fine, honey. Have a good night, for sure. You can have it. Thank you very much for calling. The sunny side, 99.3. Nigeria Info, hello.
Yeah, so the topic we are discussing, I think it goes in two ways.
Okay.
Put yourself first.
First of all, tell us your name. Would you tell us your name?
My name is Jen.
Okay.
Yeah. So put yourself first. Number one is when there's a bomb blast, let's say there's a bomb blast, you put yourself first by running as much as your leg can carry you. You don't need to come to save people. Because there might be a probability of having another the second blast. Uh-huh. That one is put yourself first. So the second one is all this our military men that is on the border protecting us. So they don't put themselves first. They have to protect the citizens first. So that's where the second one applies.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much for calling. Language and interpretations. So I think we can all rest assured that we say things we don't thoroughly understand. At least we would love to believe that we understand it. But this show is proving that we don't know what we mean when we say stuff. Welcome to the show. What's your name?
Hello, good afternoon.
It's good to have you. Welcome to Nigeria Info. What's your name?
I never see my life.
Uh-huh. I'm with you. Please, go ahead. Sure. Good to have you.
Yeah, I want to say that putting yourself first is not that it's not being selfish. It's not the same as loving yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. For example, before I bought a bottle of malt, I can bought a bottle of malt to myself before I bought it to someone else. That, for example. So it's not being selfish. That to show love, to show that love, means to do the same thing to yourself before you send it to another person.
Is that it? I'm listening to you. I'm really following, but I'm wondering whether you have left me off, because then it would be not necessarily a complete thought that you've put out. So are you saying you buy a malt drink for yourself and you have to know the taste of malt first before you buy it for someone else?
Yeah, that's not being selfish, because you have to do the same thing to yourself. Or you can do it to another person first, knowing that you can do the same thing to yourself. Other way around.
So what do you want me to take out of this? That putting yourself first is not selfish.
Not being selfish.
Wait, so if you've never drank a bottle of had a malt before and then you bought malt for yourself, you think that's putting yourself first?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Wow, this is harder than I thought.
Because maybe somebody might be broke before, or you have not had a job. Then he went out to have a job and earn some money.
Mm-hmm.
That person needs to spend a little amount of that money to him or herself.
Okay, fantastic. So let's say you haven't had a malt before, and then you buy for yourself first. You taste it, then you go home, and your wife says, "Oh, I want a bottle of malt." And then what do you say?
Yeah, you go ahead and give it to her, because you know that now that you have the money.
Yeah, so how is that putting you? You didn't have money. That was why you didn't buy for two people before now.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling. All right. Hello. Welcome. It's good to have you. Thank you.
Joyce Oyemowo.
Exactly. You seem to know me. Who are you?
Today is not Lord Emeka, just Emeka from Satellite.
Welcome, it's good to have you here. Thank you.
Yeah, it's another interesting topic. For me, putting oneself first is akin to the first law of nature, which is self-preservation. And I want to create a scenario. For instance, a marriage, an abusive marriage, for instance. And you know that staying on might actually cost you your life. But you have kids, you have children. And now relatives and friends are saying, oh, don't leave because of the children. Don't leave because of the children. Just endure a little more. Let us pray and do this and don't do all that. But you know, this man is not going to change. Or either of the spouse or the woman is not going to change. Let me not just bring it down to you, the men. Oh, you know, the other party is not going to change. The abuse continues.
Mm.
And people are saying, because here in Africa, they believe that you don't have to leave. Divorce is a taboo and all that. But your life is at stake.
Okay.
That is a situation where you need to put yourself first. Because without preserving yourself, you wouldn't be alive to take care of those kids.
How do you put yourself first in a situation where someone has determined a seeming outcome? So someone is abusive to you. So that's not you calling the shots. That's someone else calling the shots. Why? Well, the abuser. Who's abusive in the relationship?
The abuser.
Who's the abuser? Who's the abuser?
Whoever the party is, whether the male or the female.
Uh huh.
You is the victim of abuse.
Okay.
You need to put yourself first by taking the walk.
How do you put yourself first when you are disadvantaged?
Disadvantage in what form? Are you tied down to the marriage?
Well, you just gave us an analogy now. One person is disadvantaged in the union now.
I am saying that you are being abused.
Yeah.
You know, safest thing for you to do is to take a walk. You know.
Uh-huh.
And relatives and friends are saying, oh, because of the children. Please look at the children. They're still very young. They are this, they are that.
Uh-huh. I get it.
But the law is there.
But self-defense is not putting yourself first. So defend yourself to life is not putting yourself first.
You cannot remain there when you know that the abuser is much stronger.
That's not putting yourself first. You are disadvantaged in a situation. So it's supposed to be good for you and it's supposed to be good for me. But in the outcomes, it's only good for you and not good for me. So I'm disadvantaged.
Okay, so if you have been abused and you remain in the relationship, what do you call that?
That's me defending myself to live, to be at peace. That's me.
What?
That's self-defense. That's defense.
You remain in an abusive relationship.
That's no, you're not supposed to be, but that's not called putting yourself first because you're already disadvantaged. The element of putting yourself first suggests that you want advantage.
You want what?
Advantage. To put yourself first.
So what, putting oneself first and self-preservation, what's the difference?
Hold on a second. You want to tell me what you mean at this point, because if someone is in an abusive relationship and they have to save themselves, that's not putting themselves first. So let's do it this way. I think the person is already disadvantaged. In a disadvantaged position, the best you can do is save yourself.
If you save yourself, what does that amount to? If you're saving yourself, what does that amount to?
What does that amount to, saving yourself? Someone wants to kill you and you leave.
Preservation, you're putting yourself first.
No, that's not you putting yourself first because you're disadvantaged.
You're not taking into consideration. You know, other people are looking at all that.
But wait, putting what into, what should you put into consideration when you're disadvantaged?
Have you not heard a situation where people are abused and elders?
I get it. So your active word here. No, your active word here is abuse. So the person is disadvantaged as a function of abuse. That puts them in a disadvantage. The abuser has the advantage.
What about those who stay on at the end of the day, they lose their lives?
Those are victims, and they chose to be victims, eternal victims for that matter.
Because they failed to put their own interest first.
No, so I think I get what you're doing here, and I would disagree because if a person is, hold on, let me explain it. If a person is disadvantaged, you are not putting yourself first because you are disadvantaged. So the active word is to be disadvantaged by your analogy. So hold on a second. We can continue after Vaughn is done with the headlines.
All right.
Thank you. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. Okay, so here is my thought. To put yourself first, so this is what we can all agree happens here. To put yourself first implies that you're seeking the advantage. So by even the grammar in itself, it says you put yourself first, meaning something comes second. You see that? So the last caller, I don't know if I have him online, but if he will call me back, that'll be okay. So this is what I'm saying. If a victim is in a situation, you are victimized. And to save yourself, you are saving yourself not at the detriment of the other person, not at the detriment of the oppressor. You are the one who is oppressed. You're only trying to save yourself, right? So you're not trying to disadvantage your oppressor. You are trying to save yourself. So in that situation, that would not be putting yourself first. That would be saving yourself. So let's go back again. Putting yourself first, six says one isn't, you are first, other things become secondary. You see that? So in an abusive relationship, you don't want the advantage. As the statement suggests, putting yourself first, you are saving yourself. Meaning that someone has deducted from you peace, sanity, order, quiet, love, robbed you practically. And if removing yourself is what's required for you not to die, it cannot be called putting yourself first, because someone did not only put themselves first, they put themselves above you. Vaughn, stop rolling your eyes. What you want, girl?
Well, I mean,
so what is confusing you? So you have to first remember the phrase is put yourself first.
I get that.
Good.
I get that. But, you know, it's... So I'd like to, perhaps coming from where the last caller, you know, the angle of the last caller, right? If you are in an abusive relationship and you decide that you don't want that anymore, that is in some way, you know, considering yourself, you know, which is in some way putting yourself first for the first time in your life.
Okay. I think I get your import.
Right.
But to put yourself first, is it so if you put yourself, if you considered yourself against the actions of your abuser, how is that detrimental to your abuser? How is that an advantage against your abuser?
Hmm.
You can take 2 minutes, actually.
Well, but then again, we may have to go back to the, you know, perhaps the definition of putting yourself first, because I told you
to start from there. You didn't start.
I don't think that putting yourself first always has to, you know, be to the disadvantage of another person.
Okay.
Doesn't have to necessarily.
What does the phrase imply?
It just means, you know, seeking out your own, you know, your own well-being, removing yourself from every situation.
Remember that the phrase is not love your neighbor as yourself. It's to put yourself first.
Well, you can put yourself first and still love your neighbor as yourself.
Good. So now some people have raised it up. And then I said, well, so now you're drawing my attention to your motive. So your motive is not to seek advantage over another person. Your motive is to self-preserve, like the last caller is saying, like to have good hair, have a good mental
state. Just be healthy, you know.
But not at the disadvantage of the other person.
That is what.
What then is the phrase, put yourself first? Can you see that?
I get that. But then again, put yourself first
means something is second.
It does imply that something is second.
Good.
But it also means that you consider yourself, you know, such that self-preservation instinct kicks in when it needs to kick in.
When it needs to kick in.
That's right.
So by his reference, where he uses an abused person in a situation, what do you then think?
So an abused person in a situation is basically, you know, putting himself or herself first because the person is trying to self-preserve at that point.
Yeah, but you can't say first. Your abuser is first, second, third. That's why it's called a disadvantage.
But you're choosing to put yourself fast because you cannot, because again
you're pushing back. That's only defense. So you can't say that the guy who's defending himself from being hit is attacking.
That is what I'm trying to say. At least he is self-preserving, which is different from, you know, wanting to maybe just sit back and not fight back or anything.
Yeah, but it's not to the disadvantage of the other person. They only just preserve it. So here you're saying that the motive is now you're considering yourself, but not to the disadvantage of
the
other person.
Doesn't have to be.
Thank you. It has been nice having you here for like a minute and a half.
I know.
Actually, two, actually. Thank you. All right. So, maybe the other caller would like to summarize his thought. But I would disagree with the fact that if you stepped out of an abusive relationship, it's putting yourself first. Remember that many of you reference this loving your neighbor as yourself. So if you were or found yourself in an abusive circumstance, then the implication of that would be that you have loved someone who doesn't love you as he loves himself. And so maybe what you're trying to draw is a form of balance. And in the absence of drawing balance, you leave. So when you seek for, it's like when you negotiate your salary or you want something out of something, you're not putting yourself before any other pawn in the game. So I don't think if I go negotiating salary, I'm trying to put myself first. Like, I have economic responsibilities that require not just my attention, but, you know, my money. And so if I say, well, I'm here to renegotiate, it's not that I'm putting myself first. It's we have to find balance. And if I am tilted out of balance, then to say I'm leaving the job is not to put myself first. It's to say I'm disadvantaged and it's not fair game. So I'll go. You see that? Okay. Now, this was some workout. Hello? Can you hear me? Oh, well, sorry about that. If you would, then call me back then. Hi.
Hello.
Hey, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. This is AY from Ikorodu.
AY from?
Ikorodu.
Thank you.
Yeah. Concerning the topic, self first.
Uh-huh. Self what?
I want to. Concerning the topic, self first.
Put yourself first, exactly.
Yeah. I want to give an illustration.
Sure.
I have a family of four, my wife, I, and two children.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm going out in the morning, I know that nothing at home for them to eat that day. And I assure them that when I come back, there will be something to eat. So my way coming back home, you know, I have three family members at home already.
Mm.
So my way coming back, I have 1,000 naira with me. And in that 1,000 naira, I'm branched in one mama put by the side of the road. Mama give me amala, that's pomo and meat and fish.
Mm-hmm.
After everything, I have spent 800 naira from the 1,000 naira. how I took the remaining 200 naira home for the three members of the family to go and use it to find something to eat with 200 naira. Why I myself, out of the 1,000, I have spent 800 naira for myself. Okay. In that case, I put myself first ahead of other family members.
So, do you think, therefore, that to put yourself first is the same as loving your neighbor as yourself?
It's not as the same at all. At all. It's totally different. If I love them as myself, I will take that 1,000 home. They will use it to cook for everyone. Then we eat together for peace.
Is there anything else you'd like to say? Because I've enjoyed listening to you.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Hello. The volume of that thing. Hi.
My name is Binga. I'm calling from Ikeja this afternoon.
It's good to have you here. If you speak up for us, that'll be a deal. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Can you hear me very well now?
Yeah, a lot better. Thank you.
Okay. Hope your niece is doing well.
Oh, you're kind. She's holding it together. She's still with it, but she's holding it together. Thank you for asking.
Thank goodness to hear that. It's a good news to hear. Anyway, I think this is one of my most confused days on your show.
Why?
Yes, because it just confused me. The analogy I was actually trying to present to you was the one the other guy presented about the
Did you
marriage.
Call me earlier on?
No, I didn't. It was someone else that called. But I had that analogy in mind. And you presented a valid rebuttal, and now I'm kind of confused.
Well, so...
Because I think...
Share your confusion. You know, let's do that.
Okay. All right. I actually tried to do a little bit of tweak to the analogy. Maybe we can eliminate the fact that there's a victim in that analogy.
Okay.
So let's look at it as if here is a woman coming into a marriage with properties, for example.
Oh.
And then the husband is insisting, I need you to change these properties into my name.
Yeah.
And the woman's response is, hey, I love you. I want to marry you. But, one, I don't know if you are going to walk away from me in 5-10 years' time. And if I put these properties in your name, what am I left with if all the properties are in your name? Or maybe something happens to you and you die. How do I know your family is not come and claim all these properties, including the one I came into the marriage with? Therefore, I'm going to put myself first, self-preservation, by not putting these properties under your name, so that God forbid, should in case something happens to you, I'm not thrown under the bus.
I'm with you.
Yes. So I would think in that case, that would be somebody putting herself first.
Okay. So maybe we need to consider the position of the one who's asking that the stuff be put in his name. What mind would you have to ask that a thing that you haven't earned? Are you the husband who's asking the wife to write off her will when she's not dead? You know, let's call you out.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the fact that there are some men who think they have the audacity to actually suggest.
So if we can evaluate your point from that perspective, can you see what's wrong with your analogy? Maybe not wrong with the analogy in itself, but wrong with the mentality within the analogy.
Yeah, definitely. The mentality is a very, very, very stupid, insecure one. But it happens. I think it happens a lot.
Well, yeah, and people...
And I just thought,
yeah, it happens.
Yeah,
and we're hoping to understand whether we understand what we mean when we say you put yourself first.
So
the guy who wants the will in her property in his name wants to put himself somewhere over a property he hasn't earned. Now, the other outcome is if they were in love and she chooses to have... her husband's name on her property. Now, love is the reason. In the absence of love, is the same way like a man would love his wife and buy property and put it in her name and not care, or buy a car and put it in her name, right?
Yeah.
And then you ask the guy, oh, that's my wife. I love her. Like, God, what would I not do for her? Maybe.
Definitely.
Something like,
for sure.
So if, besides love, then what other conditions exist?
Now you're even confusing me, man.
Ah, guy, come on, man. It's not even that hard. Well, besides love, what else is there?
I mean, I was listening to your commentary on love as it being unconditional, and again, half of my head wants to believe it's unconditional, and the other half is telling me, dude, it can't be that dumb to think it's all unconditional.
Have you fallen in love before?
Well, I like to think I have.
No.
If
you've fallen in love before, the birds will know. If you've lost yourself.
Don't you think it might mean different things to different people?
Well, that's why... No, I've fallen in love, except it's not love. That's why love cannot be confused. It's like, well, you're told about... Love, to be in love is not confused with anything else, because time will test it.
Okay, so you mean it cannot mean different things to different people?
So there is what being in love is, and then I think what might differ would be the way they describe the same thing, but not that it would be different things. So let's say a Rolex. A Rolex, it's a Rolex even to the blind guy.
For sure.
Good. Same as love. Rice is rice, even to the guy whose taste buds are dead. If he can figure it out in a picture, even if he can't, he can tell.
He knows
it well.
It's right.
Exactly. Well, except it's not rice, or maybe except it's not a Rolex.
There's a slight difference here, because a Rolex is something that is tangible, and I would like to think is self-evidently what it is. But I think love is more of an abstract. So I'm not sure it's that easy to pinpoint.
But freedom is abstract. But men have died for freedom. They believed in something quite abstract enough to die for it. I mean, men die for religion.
That is true.
And it's self-evident enough for them to die for it. Men have died for love. And it's self-evident for the men who died to die for love. And maybe to be willing to do it again.
That's true. And that I agree with.
So are we going to have another conversation or what? You going to buy me a drink or what?
No, I think I will let you buy me the drink.
You drink alcohol?
Not really. No,
that's
I
it.
Don't.
Game over. You don't drink. What do we do with guys who don't drink? No, I'm
Isn't
joking.
Isn't it a good thing, Joyce? I mean, we try to be responsible, you know.
So you think I'm irresponsible? Is that what you're saying?
Come on now, Joyce. I never said that. I did not say that.
Thank you very much for calling. I really do.
Have a lovely day,
you
Joyce.
Too. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
All right. Hey.
Hello, this is Mayowa calling back again. I'm sorry if I'm taking much of your time.
You are.
But the second to the last caller.
Okay.
That said something about this thing. That said something about unconditional. Putting yourself first. That said something about.
I can't remember. Okay, what did the person say? I don't remember. Just go ahead.
The person said something like, if you go out, like you promised your family that they will eat, and
go
out, you
okay,
came back.
Okay, good,
extent.
Got it. Uh-huh.
So now me, I cannot really say that is like putting yourself first, because to me, putting yourself first means that there is no other option. Like there is no other option but to do it. So. Like him, what the analogy that he used now, if he takes the 1,000 naira home and gives it to them to cook, he will eat out of it and he will be filled, and it will also benefit everybody. But on the occasion that he is not like they are not his family, on the occasion that they are not his family, and he promises them that they will eat, and he goes out and comes back. And on his way back, he's only coming back with 1,000. And it seems that, okay, this 1,000 will not be enough for all of us. It will only be enough for some people.
Uh-huh.
Like, it will only be either enough for only me or only them. Then, in that instance, I'm sure anybody will choose to do it for themselves.
Good. Hold on there. Do you remember his analogy? He says, I'm a father and I have three people. Okay, good. So from your own inference now, you're saying that it is right for him to spend the 1,000 on himself.
No, his analogy actually said that he actually gives them 200 naira out of this.
Well, no, the reference of giving 200 naira would be that he has put himself first because he has spent 800 from the 1,000.
But you also said that you helping somebody, you helping yourself so you can help somebody later, still means that. Yeah, it doesn't mean that you are putting yourself first.
You were going somewhere and I want to take you there. So more like I want to follow you. So if you were in that situation and that 1,000 mm-hmm. would only be enough for either the husband or mm-hmm. the people at home, where would you send the money mm-hmm. to? How would the money go?
So the analogy is that he's going home. He's also going home with the money.
No, so if you were the husband in the picture, would you take the money home? Would you say, well... So here's the money, or would you just eat at home, eat outside? Then when you get home, you cry with your children and just tell them God is going to do this miracle.
I won't eat outside. I'll take the money home, tell them to cook, then I'll eat out of it because it will be beneficial for all of us.
Okay, but now do you realize that if you are going to reference that particular situation, he is not the only option in that situation. There was him and then his family, and he chose his family over himself.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. That he did not choose his family over himself.
No,
chose himself.
Because remember we're trying to split it here. We're trying to say that there is you and then something else or someone else, or as he referenced him and then his family. And he chose not to place himself in as an individual above his wife and kids.
So well, you know that
his actions would have split the family. So his action says there's him and then there's his family. But he chose a family where he is part of them.
No, did not like you are saying that he chose the family when he is part of them. So that actually means that he's also factoring himself in. So it is also an advantage for him. But in the case you are what you are doing now is that you are separating him and the family.
No, meanwhile, his actions would have separated him from his family, not me. If he spent 800 naira, if he spent 800 naira on himself and took 200 naira to his family, that's two groups right there. Like he practically just split it in the middle. Himself, 800, his family, 200. That's not me.
Yes, it splits it in the middle. That is what I was trying to say, that in the actual sense, that is not really him putting in, because there are other options. There is another, even if I don't know about other options, the other option that is there, I know that when he gets home, he can give them all the money and they will pay, they will like cook for everybody.
That was what
he
said.
And he will eat out of it.
That's exactly the option he chose. Okay.
I know. But what me I'm trying to say now is that except there is no other option at all. There is no other option. Like, he can't go home and give it to them and he'll eat out of it. Yeah, if that one is not there, and the only option is either for them to get all the money or for him to get all the money, I'm sure he will choose like, if the option is that for him to split the money into two, and it will be enough for the two of them. For him to split the money into two, it will be enough for the two of them. He will split the money into two. And you take half.
But who determines how the money should be split? That was why he said, gave an analogy of 800 and 200, and said, no, I will take the money home. So he has chosen one outcome. Otherwise,
He has chosen one outcome. He has chosen one outcome, meaning that there are other options.
Yeah, then the other option is the 800 and the 200 now. Which other one are you wanting to refer?
The other option is that, do you know that there are different ways to split 1,000 naira that will be beneficial for the person?
But he's the same. He's going to be in the same bracket. Whether he does it 950 to 50 naira, 700 to 300, anyhow, 500, it would still be that he split it and he put himself above his family.
Him splitting it means that he's considering the two parties.
If that's what you're saying, then the emotion behind that action would determine. So let's say 1,000 naira for five family members. You go out, you spend 500 and bring 500 right back to the family. You have put yourself first. That would be the conclusion.
But do you know that he can take 300 naira for himself and eat, and then give 700 naira to his family.
That would be fair. Then he has taken his family into consideration. As long as he doesn't seek the advantage, then it's a fair game.
Yes.
Thank you very much for calling. Off on a break. So I must say that we have done a thorough job of trying to deal with this particular language and interpretation. Thanks to everyone who's called in. Desmond was also giving me his idea, of what he thought it meant to him.
Wonderful topic, Joyce. Really, really, like, really wonderful.
I didn't even think it was going to be this difficult a topic, but good God, we did a good job. Thank you.
But interestingly... Yeah.